Oh my gosh, Vanya, how are you?
Mike, hi. I'm doing okay. How you doing?
Okay, so we were going to, and we still are going to talk about our Christmas and what we did, but I have to tell you something that happened last night.
Oh God, okay. Are you okay?
I'm totally fine, and this may end up being a story in which I just sound like a crazy person, but I'm fine with that.
Good, great, love it.
So I yesterday decided to go out to, so I live in Harlem in, on the island of Manhattan in New York, and I have a friend, my friend Elise Castle, who lives in Astoria, which is a little neighborhood in Queens, and it's really not that far away, really. It's like, I mean, to me, it's not. It's like 5.5 miles-ish to walk it.
Okay.
So I decided that I was gonna, cause we were, I was gonna go over and we were gonna find a nice outdoor space to have dinner. So I was like, I'm just gonna walk there. I'll, you know, I'll take a bus back, but I'll walk there because I've walked most of it. There's a an island called Randall's Island that's sort of between two of us.
Yes.
And there were like over the summer there were times when we would kind of get together and do an outdoor picnic and we'd meet there. And so I was like, I've walked most of it, so I'll just it'll be totally fine.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
So first of all, I started the walk at like 5:15, 5:30, which means that it's dark in New York right now. But once again, I was like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. Like, who cares? So the walk through Manhattan was fine. Like, I'm very familiar with you know, this neighborhood of Manhattan. And then walking over the little bridge to get to Randall's Island, also totally fine. Not a big deal. I will say that when I got to Randall's Island, I was a little bit like, I don't really know where I'm going now. Like, I think I'm going to walk around this area. And it was a little, like, I'll send you a picture. Like, there was definitely a place where I was like, there's no one around and it's dark.
I mean, isn't that where they film like a bunch of horror movies on Randall's Island?
They apparently find a lot of bodies on Law and Order there.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Oh God.
Yeah. So, but I will also say, like, there was a fair amount of, like, police presence. Like, I felt like there was someone kind of nearby, so I wasn't super worried about it. I definitely got to a place, and I'll also send you this picture, where there was either a path that stayed on the island,
okay,
or there was, like, this sort of ramp that was going to take you up to the second bridge. Now, I don't know if just the second bridge is called the RFK Bridge or if the whole, it used to be known as the Triborough Bridge.
Yes, okay.
But basically, I'm now getting to the bridge that links Randall's Island to Queens, which I've never gone over and which is the source of all of my future nightmares.
Oh, no.
You know this, I don't love heights. I don't like saying that I'm afraid of heights because I feel like that's giving it too much power. But
right,
like, there are definitely times that I'm up high and I feel like I need to just like lie down and try to not exist anymore. So I don't know. I feel like I have to preface this all by saying I wasn't the only person up on this walkway.
Okay.
There were not very many, but every once in a while there'd be someone else. There was like on one occasion someone on a bike. I have never been so terrified in my entire life. I was so scared. I was so scared because it was like there'd be a fence on one side of you, but then there wouldn't be anymore. And then on one side, the barrier like came maybe to my waist and then it was just like down into the water on one side.
Yeah, Mike is a very tall man. That would be scary.
I couldn't look to my left because that was the water. I couldn't look to my right because that was the traffic, which is down like maybe 15 feet drop from you. I couldn't look at the, I'm going to generously call it the platform on which I was walking, because it seriously appeared as though part of it was not even connected to anything. Like, it was just like floating somehow magically.
Oh,
it felt
God.
Like I was walking along like cardboard. I was so scared that all I could do was stare straight ahead, hold onto this hand railing, as though if the platform disappeared, I could hold myself up onto this. I literally thought I was going to fall down. Like,
oh,
I thought I was going to, like, pass out. But I also, I'm so sorry, but, like, I really was like, am I going to throw up? Like, my stomach started churning. Like, I could feel my, like, my knees started to, like, quiver. I was so scared.
Oh.
As I was exiting, a guy was, like, running toward, I was like, don't run on it. Like, once again, I get, like, this probably mostly makes me crazy. I will say that I met up with my friend Elise and her roommate Colby, and like he relayed to me the terror that he had felt when he had crossed the bridge. So it wasn't just me. I was reading some reviews on Google. You can like Google map it, and there are like psychopaths who are like, such a fun place to walk. And I'm like, you're a crazy person.
Oh,
that's not a fun place to
God.
Walk. It was terrifying. So that's all. And I know that that's mostly a story about me being insane, but I literally, I was so scared. I don't know. I was so absolutely like terrified by the time that I was done with that walk.
And it's not like you who is like a New Yorker for many, 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 many years to be scared like that. But no, that's a crazy story.
And like, I've walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. I've walked across the Manhattan Bridge.
Yeah.
Like I am, usually I feel very secure. It just felt like, and I couldn't, you can see pictures. Like if you Google it, like there are images. I don't feel like they capture how scary it felt, but I couldn't take a picture because I literally thought if I reach for my phone, I'm going to like just accidentally fall off.
Too bad. Anyway. We need Elise to like take a walking video of over the bridge so we could see it. And so we could post it to our listeners because that's freaking crazy. I've never been on that bridge. Can you believe that?
I was terrified.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad you lived.
I don't know. Anyway, there you go.
I'm very
glad that I lived too. God, and then we had a very nice dinner in Astoria. Anyway, how was your Christmas?
It was good. You know, it was, we have little kids, so we did all the toy stuff. I've been like sort of hoarding, buying little toys for the last, you know, 6 months. So it ended up being actually more than I desired for them to have. I'm like, God dang it. We're going to have all these crappy toys around, but it's fine. They had a blast. It was fun. I definitely felt a pit of sorrow, you know, just like it didn't feel like normal special, but we did do a Zoom thing with the fam and it was actually nice. It's just, you know, it's kind of like I don't want to say I'm discounting this Christmas, but I kind of am like, okay, well, next year or when we see each other again, then we're going to celebrate together. So we had a great family Christmas, like a small family Christmas. That was so magical. Waking up, we haven't really done that, you know, waking up with the kids and in our own home. So that was really special. But I also couldn't help with that little pit in my stomach being like, oh, this is sad.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, like, I really spent most of the day just sort of in my apartment. I made this, like, breakfast. Oh, I think I might have talked about the breakfast casserole. Yes. And I made it, and it turned out really well. And I ate it, like, four times that day. But yeah, it was definitely a weird year. So
that's it.
Maybe it's that thing where it makes us appreciate next year even more.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I will appreciate every interaction I have with any kind of human being anytime. Whenever this is lifted, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not doing great in LA right now, so it's not fun.
I know. I was looking at that map, like, lord, like it is pretty insane. So yeah, stay. I guess we've talked about this before. I don't get it.
I agree. I don't get it either.
Like, just don't go to the mall, people. Like, just, I don't know. It's very like sort of mind-boggling to me.
Well, I was talking to my husband about it, and he says, you know, I think it's unmasked gatherings, like indoor gatherings mostly. And I'm like, but then they go to the grocery store. And then he's like, but then the likelihood of, if they have a mask on and you have a mask on, it's pretty low. But I'm like, but then again, it's not completely zero. So yeah, it's been scary. Today, I really wanted to go out and do something, but it's fine. This is going to be fine. We're going to have a dance party with the kids at this afternoon.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
We're like, we need to have something. We need to do something that's like a thing, or we just need to start drinking earlier in the day. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Listen, it's a struggle for real. And I mean that, and we can kind of like ha-ha about it. But I mean, even for me, I'm like, well, it's dark and I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I try to like look at the clock and be like, oh no, it's 4:30, so you can wait a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
But on a serious note, I know that is a struggle for people right now.
Yeah, no, it is. My digging actually has to do a little bit with that. Do you want to know my digging? Are we there? Did you tell us about you did?
I did. No, yeah. What are you digging? What are you digging right now?
So I am not going like off the drink, but I do need to have some balance because essentially since the pandemic hit, I've been having a little something every day, and that's fairly normalish, but not, you know, it just feels like, okay, I need to give my body, I need to eat a little bit better and all these things. So I'm thinking more along health lines. I'm calling it a soft open. I'm doing a soft open for eating healthy and all this stuff. Cause you know, my daughter's, she's cackling in the background. But yeah, so you know, we still have the New Year's Eve, and happy New Year's Eve, everybody. I think that this is coming out on New Year's Eve.
This is coming out on New Year's Eve. Everyone, yeah. Everyone stay home.
Stay home, but party in your pajamas or put on.
But have fun.
Or here's what I have.
Yeah.
I challenge you to wear your most expensive, fancy outfit in your home this New Year's Eve and take a picture and send it to us because I want to see it. That's what I'm planning on doing.
I like that.
So, okay. So what I'm digging is, it is kind of dorky, but it actually is giving me life. So have you heard of this like hop water?
I have not.
So you know Lagunitas, the brewing company, the beer company? They usually...
Yes.
I think they mostly are popular for IPA, but they do a bunch of different kinds of beers. They came out with this drink called the Hoppy Refresher. And it says it's an IPA-inspired refreshment, but it is essentially sparkling water with some hop taste in it. It's so yummy. Okay, so on the website, it says it is zero alcohol, zero carbohydrate, and zero calorie, made using everything they know about hops. So it's got like all the hop stuff in it. Guess what, Mike? It is gluten-free.
Oh, wow.
And it's so tasty. I love it. It's just delicious. And it makes me feel like I'm having a drink.
Okay.
You know, I don't necessarily need to have a drink. Well, I don't know. Maybe I do need to have a drink to feel calm, but or to feel start to feel relaxed. But it's giving me that mental like calm. Because I always chug my first drink. Like chug it. Chug it like so fast. So this is good for me to sort of start this way. And yesterday I had one and I got some and I'm just like, you have to get them. I have to find a way to send you some Lagunitas Hoppy Refresher. It's so good.
Oh, I'll have to look it up. I'm sure they have it somewhere in here. It's funny because we have that the opposite, that like I can nurse my first drink for like an hour and a half.
That's true.
And then the next one is like an hour. And then the next is like 30 minutes. Like I then take off exponentially.
Yeah. I'm always like chug because I'm always thirsty. Drink more water, people, whatever. But yeah, I'm always thirsty. So if I have like Mike and I, we used to get margaritas. Oh my God, Mike, the first time. So he obviously is one of my best friends in the world. And we love Mexican food. I established that last time. And we also love margaritas, so yay tequila. And the first time I was able to like drink, my daughter, I was breastfeeding and I had put my daughter down for a nap. Mike came out to meet me in, at that point, Greenpoint is where we were living. We've lived all over the place. And we went for margaritas at this place that I did not realize how strong they were. You practically had to carry me home and I had to pump and dump, but it was so delicious. But I drank it so fast because I was so thirsty. When you're breastfeeding, you're like so thirsty all the time. Pump and dump, people. Pump and dump anyways. But what are you digging, Mike?
I am digging... Okay, so I feel like it's been such a reoccurring thing. I feel like this does feel like the season of the limited series. There have been so many limited series.
That's true, yeah.
And we actually... We've finished a few that we didn't really talk... Like I did... We both have finished now The Flight Attendant.
Yes.
Which I loved. I cannot recommend enough.
I loved it too.
And it's doing that thing that I oftentimes hate where they've announced a second season. Uh-huh. But I'm fine with it in this case. I feel like they've left enough little threads... Uh-huh. That they wrapped up the first season well, but I can see where they can go in a second season, so that's fun.
And I don't want to spoil alert anything, but like the person, that one actress I really love, I want to know where she went.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah. That but that's why I think they did so smart, is it felt very satisfying of a wrap up of that story, but with like a, now what about this though? So yeah, I'm super,
so
super into it. But what I wanted to talk about this week, partly because, well, there are a few reasons why I want to talk about it. So if I had to list my three favorite books ever written, one of them would easily be Stephen King's The Stand.
Right.
This is going to be a thing I dig that I'm not necessarily recommending because I know not everyone can go here right now. But for those that don't know, The Stand is about a pandemic that ends up killing off 99.9% of the world's population.
Oh, good.
Right. But I will say that's not the point of the book. The point of the book is then about those that are left behind are having these dreams, and some dream of this dark man off in like Nevada, and some dream of this like older woman, and they're both sort of like calling to these people, like, come join me, come join me. And it becomes this sort of like, who do you go to? Who draws you in? What side are you on? Is these two sides then sort of the point being of this sort of like good versus evil? It's a brilliant book. It's super long. It's huge. I did read it over the course of like 4 days once, but I did nothing but read.
Wow.
So they made it into a miniseries many years ago. I want to say in the mid-90s. It was on one of the networks, and it was like a 4-part miniseries, and it was a very literal retelling of the book. You know, they changed a few things, but it was fairly, it followed the book pretty closely. So right now, it is in the midst of being a 9-part miniseries on CBS All Access. We'll get to that in a minute. And it's a very differently structured telling of it. It doesn't happen literally. The first scene is post everybody dying. It's very gruesome, I will say. It is in general fairly gory, so not for the faint of hearts. Once again, not for everybody. Mm-mm. I guess that part of why I wanted to talk about it is because it's getting a lot of flack for its structure. A lot of people are angry and like, why aren't you just telling the story the way the book tells the story? And I don't know. I'm so enjoying the way that the writers have like taken it and broken it down, and they've really turned it into like episodic television, where really in the first, it's a cast of like 20 major characters once you get to the end. And in the first episode, we've only met like 3 of them. Mm. And it sort of follows their journey. And then we flash back and bring some more people into the fold. And I'm just super, super into the story structure. I'm super into, you know, like there are famous faces. Whoopi Goldberg is in it. Alexander Skarsgård is in it.
Oh, wow.
James Marsden is one of the major characters. I know that Greg Kinnear is going to be in it. We haven't met his character yet. So I just am enjoying what they're doing. I'm all for, I could easily be one of those people who's annoyed that they're not telling the story in a straightforward manner, but I just think that what they're doing is very, very interesting. So
that's awesome.
For those that are so inclined, I do suggest checking it out. I do suggest kind of like patience with the fact that like these writers are trying something different.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's what I'm digging. I'm going to really quickly turn around and say what I could do without, and it sort of contradicts everything that I just said.
Okay. So
CBS All Access. This is an app that you have to pay monthly to see things that CBS is producing that CBS has no intention of ever airing on CBS. So basically, CBS has used their brand name to have an app that you have to pay to watch alternate programming that they create, and it has commercials.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of crazy. And I get that now there's a way you can pay more and not have the commercials, but it's still content being made by CBS that's not going to be on actual CBS. I don't know. I have an issue with, I guess that I get that, like, and maybe I give them allowance because they came first, that like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon all have their original programming, and you have to subscribe to those particular things to see them. But I'm having an issue with all of these apps coming up where eventually you're going to have to own every single one. I don't know. I feel like there has to be some kind of crossover. Like CBS also bleeds into Amazon or bleeds into, I don't like the idea that you're one day going to have to pay this much a month to see this programming, and that's the only way that you can see it. It just feels like it's going to be harder and harder to discover things.
Right. That's so absolutely annoying. I'm on your side with that. I didn't even know there was a CBS app, to be honest with you. I have like the major players. Like I have got Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu. And Disney Plus, of course.
Yeah. And once again, I don't know why I give those more of an allowance than I do. I don't know. It bothers me that we're coming to a place where you're going to have to go to this one specific place to see that. I don't know. It just feels like we're making it harder and harder to like find new things. I don't know. That's just me.
I agree with you. And I think, just to, you know, this is not what I'm not digging, but I am actually not digging this, is my Hulu subscription just went, I pay the most because I don't want to see commercials. Mm-hmm. So I was paying $60.99 a month. And you also get live TV or whatever. But the thing is, there are commercials on certain TV or certain shows. It's just, it doesn't matter if I have paid this amount. There are certain shows, like if I went back and I watch Amazing Race, it has commercials or something like that. You know, I think each show has a different. Yeah, it's infuriating to me because I feel like I thought I paid for that. And then the price for Hulu just went up to $70.99. So it hiked up $10 more. So I think that's where I feel frustrated, is I feel like they're just bleeding the, you know, the folks out there who are just trying to watch some damn TV. And I guess, you know, how much was it to have all channels, like back when it was the cable or whatever, before apps?
I mean, here's the truth. I have all the apps and I have cable, and it is extraordinarily expensive.
That is upsetting. Okay, well, that's not fair. And maybe I'll try YouTube Live and see how that goes. But I like some of the Hulu originals. Like, I watched the, I can't think of it, but there's the comedy. It was a rom-com Christmas comedy, and it was a lesbian story, and I loved it. And I can't think of who was in it. The girl from Twilight.
Oh, yeah. Kristen Stewart.
I love, and I don't know the title. Sorry, people. Wasn't prepared to talk about this one. But like that kind of movie I wouldn't get to see if it wasn't, you know, if I didn't have Hulu. And I truly loved that show. So.
Yeah.
So much I don't know the name.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I just I just don't like that it's everything becomes its own entity. Like once upon a, I mean, you know, not to like wax poetic, but like once upon a time a movie came out and then eventually it was on a television channel or eventually it was on like a VHS tape or you would rent it or you would see. I don't know. I just, it feels like it's getting harder and harder to see stuff.
I know.
When there's so much to see.
Maybe we should try to invent something so it's all funneled into an area and everybody pays like one price and bada bing bada bang, you get it all. Who knows? Okay, so well, what I'm not digging, are you ready for this?
I am ready.
I am not digging aging. There, I said it. I'm not digging aging. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be alive on this earth. I'm so happy to be in this moment with you, Mike Jensen. Realized I didn't say your full name in the beginning, so I had to rectify that. You can hear my kids in the background. I'm happy to be with them. Happy to get old. It is that weird realization of that you are actually getting old. That happens, I guess, when you turn 40, like myself. Anyways, the point is, it's inevitable. We are organic matter. It's going to happen. I want to do it gracefully. I want to love myself, but God damn, I really think I put a lot of my self-worth in like thinking I'm looking good, you know? And so now that I'm aging, getting a little bit older, I can make myself look fine and decent, but it's like I'm not as young. I don't want to be 20 either. I think what I'm not digging is the mind bleep that I'm experiencing right now with getting older. What do you think, Mike? Can you tell that you got? I can't. Yeah. It's frustrating to me. I just want to be confident, old Vanya. And now I'm like, oh no. And they talk about how middle-aged women become invisible in this society and the world we live in. And I'm like, I'm such a brat. I'm gonna be a loud ass. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm not invisible. I may look not appetizing to you, but guess what? I am here. Drinking my hop sparkling water. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is a strange phenomenon, the whole getting older thing. And it's definitely a thing in the gay community, too, where I feel like I get to a place where, like, you're just not an option anymore. Like, you're just, it's like, nope, you've reached the end of the line. Like, we don't even look at you anymore. And I'm kind of like, oh, I think I still look pretty good for my age, but.
You do.
You know.
He's got a nice body, everybody.
I mean, it's okay. Well, but that's the other thing is that, like, I'm in relatively good shape, but, like, relatively good shape is really different when you're in your 40s than it is when you're in your 30s.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Yeah, getting old is weird.
That's the other thing. I've been, like, working out, and I'm like, why isn't this working?
Yeah, I think about back in the day, like, before we went to, so many years ago when we went to Las Vegas.
Yes.
And I went on like a 10-day like no drinking and exercising, and I've literally never been so thin like in my entire life as far as like fit thin. Like I was very thin when I was a teenager, but like fit thin,
right?
And then like now I'll be like, I'm gonna get skinny and not drink for 10 days and nothing changes.
I know, it's so upsetting. I think that is part of it for me too. It's like it's just like your metabolism changes when you get older as well. And so is it just going to keep getting slower? Am I going to keep eating, having to eat less to maybe I'm just going to enjoy and love my body as it is. How do I do that?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding. I wasn't a baby. I was just like, I'm just kidding. I do. I want to love myself, but like, you know, I've had a baby. My stomach skin is a little more like loose, but shouldn't I be proud of that? It is hard because the society is that we just really, what do they say? Youth is wasted on the young. I don't know.
Well, we're also just a youth obsessed culture. Yeah. I mean, I always think that whenever I see, and once again, I feel like I'm like the old person now talking about this, but whenever I see like top 30 under 30, I'm like, why do we care that they're under 30?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be like top 30 over 30? Like right. You're still accomplishing things with your life. I don't, like, we're so like, oh, they made it by 25. And I'm like, well, that's great. But you know, now what? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. So that's just my little brain, like, kind of, what I'm going to work on is trying to love myself and be confident and be and still feel sexy and all these things, you know, because it's only gonna get fucking worse, man. So I don't want to be miserable and like, and again, no you know, judgment, but like pump my face full of stuff or get some lipo, which if it didn't hurt so much, I would do it. You know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I don't want to have to do anything. I still want to be cute in my own eyes, I guess, for myself. Okay, that's it. I'm done with that.
Yeah, it's tough. I always say consider the alternative.
There you go. And that's the truth. I believe 100%. I want to be here. I don't want to be gone. I want to be here.
So I wanted to, I meant to tell this story earlier because I had an interesting moment this last week that I kind of wanted to share that might be one more story that makes me not sound great.
Okay.
But once again, I'm okay with that. So I watched last week, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is on Netflix.
Yes, I haven't seen it.
And I watched it and I enjoyed the performances. I mean, it's great actors giving amazing performances. And it was one of those movies that I got to the end and I kind of had that thought of like, it was fine, but like, not really, nothing really happened. Like, I don't know. It just sort of felt like, I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from it. And then I was watching, there was like a behind the scenes that Netflix also has. And part of it is Viola Davis talking about the experience of making it and also of making Fences. They're both August Wilson,
right?
Based on August Wilson plays. And her talking about how people sometimes criticize them because not a ton happens, that they're just slice of life. But how important a slice of life film is for a community that doesn't necessarily see themselves reflected in art all that often.
Sure, yeah.
And it was really eye-opening to me. In it, all that I could think was when I watched Let Them All Talk, which is the HBO film with Meryl Streep and Candice Bergen and Diane Wiest, and how I got so annoyed with reviews that said like not much happens, and I was like, well yeah, because it's just slice of life, like why can't we just enjoy it for what it is? And I definitely had like a reckoning with myself where I was like, oh, these movies like Ma Rainey and Fences are important because it's showing a community that doesn't get to see themselves in the movies as often as I've gotten to as a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was just definitely a moment that I thought, yeah, that's privilege right there. That's me sort of being like, meh, nothing really happens. Instead of being like, no, this is a glimpse at these characters who are representative of real people going through real things.
Mm.
And I don't know where to go with that other than I'm definitely going to rewatch it. And I'm definitely going to try to like keep that in mind when I'm watching art that doesn't necessarily reflect me exactly.
Yeah.
But is reflecting other people and other stories that I should be paying attention to.
I like that.
So there you go. Maybe that's what I wasn't digging in myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. But that's good to be aware of that. I really want to see it. I love all those actors so much. I do. I am an ADHD kid, and I do have a hard time sitting when things don't happen in any film. I'm always like, oh, God. Well. But now I know that, I can come with a little more patience. I still haven't seen Let Them Talk either, because I respect all genres, but I also am like, okay, I have a harder time with different genres. So if it's like kind of a slow moving, slow burn, I try not to lose interest, but I have a hard time focusing.
Yeah, it can be difficult, especially
I like need to take my medication before I watch.
Yeah, especially watching things at home. It's different, I think, when you're in a movie theater and you have to focus
really
on the screen in front of you.
That is so absolutely true. Because when it's like even a play or something like that, you know, when I'm in the theater, it's like all of, and you're with a community, you're all of myself feel like they're like alive and I'm watching with people and I'm like in this room having this experience with everybody. Yeah, that's huge. I miss going to, I mean, you know, we talk about it a lot, but God, I miss it. I miss theater. I miss it all.
Me too, very much. So I thought for our topic today.
Topic time.
That
topic
we would just talk about, time. let's just talk about New Year's Eve a little bit. Because we were sort of having this conversation, because I'm not a huge fan of New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
But you do like them. So talk to me a little bit. Talk to me about New Year's resolutions and what they mean to you.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I think for anyone out there, it is important to honor how you feel about the New Year. So whatever works for you, if you like making resolutions, if you don't, if it doesn't work for you, screw it. Like, but I really believe that, like, honor whatever works for you. For me, I love it's not even resolutions. Get it out, Vanya. Not even resolutions. It's like I like to think fresh and like sort of fantasize. And I am kind of a dork where I do like to make a vision board. I've only done it every probably 5 years I've done it. But I personally like getting magazines, which that doesn't really exist, but you can print things out and like taping it on, like the act of like an arts and craft having to do with what I sort of am like making goals about. Cause you know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. No, but that's kind of my thing. I think since I was young, I've always played sports and stuff. So it's like, you gotta have this goal and you're making these plans. And so it's like innately in me. And I do find success when I do break shit down and I'm like, okay, I want, I don't know, whatever. Like this year I want to save enough money to buy a new car. And if I can break it down, it seems to happen. So I like that. And I do, you know, whenever it comes to working out, I definitely drop the ball by March or something like that, which is disappointing. But if there's any motivation out there in me, I'm going to grab it and run with it. So yeah, I like New Year's resolutions. I'm still thinking about mine for this year. And this year I am going to make a vision board, or I'm going to call it a collage. My New Year's collage.
Okay.
Because vision board sounds so woo-woo. Yep.
New Year's collage.
How about you? I know you don't like it, but like, do you have like a certain time in your life where you make goals, or out of the year, you just kind of are always working towards certain things?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like my resolution last year was to like put something out in the universe as far as like art goes. And I mean, we're doing this and yeah. I love that we're doing this podcast, and I finished up the podcast with Elise and I love that I did that, but it wasn't what I intended. Mm. And so I guess I can just re-up that one again. I really want to like put creations out into the world. That's what I want to do. And it did get harder this year because we couldn't put something up in a theater, and we couldn't like go play a song somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, also, is that just an excuse? Like, are there other ways that I could have been producing things? So that's a thing that I will keep in my head. I guess my thing with resolutions is that it's so easy to then like punish yourself later if you didn't accomplish them.
Sure. I think you're right about the punishment. And I was thinking something. I see if I wrote it down somewhere. So I think, okay, so for me, when I have a little bit of issues that I'm working through, is a little bit of like, when someone else is in a place where I think I should be, it's like you feel that jealousy and that like covetedness or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have to, one thing that as I'm getting older, I'm realizing, you know, that's not on my timeline. And envy and anger and especially judgment can block what I'm meant to be doing. So what I'm going to try and do from here on out, when I start to feel, because I'll like judge something and be like, oh, well, that's silly. Because it could be even like a Netflix show or something, or like, and they do say, God, I'm so full of these today. But jealousy is a roadmap. So it's showing you where you want to be, right? It just doesn't, your path is not that person's path. So when I start to feel that judgment where I'm like talking shit about a thing or something in my head, I'm not doing it out loud or anything. I'm not an asshole or a, you know, a troll on social media. I'm just like being like, well, that person shouldn't have gotten this. And when I start to do that, I need to say to myself, this is good because blah, 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 blah. You know, like, this is good that person is there because I can see, now I know I want this and I have to break down my goals to get to that. I don't know. The timing is never what we want it to be. So sometimes you just have to be patient. And that's just difficult for a person like me who is full of energy and I want action. But yeah, that was just another thing I was thinking about, was like with my goals and things like that. When I start to feel, I definitely feel like that jealousy or whatever it is, it's a block. It blocks where I'm supposed to be going. So I want to get rid of that this year. That's actually a goal. There, I have a New Year's resolution is to the things like those negative things.
That's good.
Judgment that block my flow, so to speak. I want to become aware of them and kill them. I want to murder them out of my life.
Yeah, because I get like paralyzed by it. Like I'll find myself just like lying on my bed, unable to do anything because it just all feels so overwhelming.
Yeah. It's like hard to try and start. Before the pandemic hit, I had a, what do you call it? It's like a life coach, but it was like a career coach type thing, because I've been trying to find a job forever, whatever. But one of her things is if you can, try and make micro actions, like be like, okay, you know, you have whatever thing you want to do and you're feeling paralyzed about it. Don't beat yourself up, but say, today I'm literally just going to do this small, tiny thing. Like I'm going to text one person about writing a song or something, or about ferns. This person, I want to write a song about ferns. I'm going to text my friend who's a plant person, or you know what I mean? Like, and then, but you do, if you do write those down and say, okay, today I'm going to do these three tiny micro actions, eventually those little things will add up and be less stuck. I mean, you'll move a little bit forward. I don't know. I'll see about all the stuff that I got from her and send it to you because I think you would like it.
You are correct. Like sometimes it is small moves. Sometimes it's like, just do this one little thing.
But you're really good at getting stuff done. I feel like when you are motivated, I guess that's the thing, right? Like being not motivated is the hard part.
Yeah. Like how do you motivate yourself?
Just like push yourself to do it. I don't know. I'm always waiting for the flow. I'm like, someone, the universe, tell me what to do. I'm just going to lay here. I'm gonna drink my hoppy sparkling water. I'm just kidding. I was gonna say a martini, but I was like, But I love that. Listen. I wish the best for anyone out there who has goals, and I'm sure this year, if you made them last year, they probably changed a bit. I don't know. You know, with the pandemic and everything. Yeah. So good luck to everyone, and I wish you joy and peace and love in this new year. Oh, we have fun facts.
Oh yeah, do you have a fun fact?
I do. It's about beer.
Okay.
Hold on, I gotta find it because I was on a beer kick, and I guess if you're a beer connoisseur, you probably know this. But did y'all know, in Mesopotamia, the oldest evidence of beer is believed to be a 6,000-year-old Sumerian tablet depicting people consuming a drink through reed straws from a communal bowl. So they didn't even have their own glass. but they didn't know about germs back then. So, and then also a 3,900-year-old Sumerian poem honoring Nikasi, who was this like patron goddess of brewing. I guess she's like the god of alcohol or whatever. I'm like, I love you, Nikasi. but this poem contains the oldest surviving beer recipe, and it describes the production of beer made from bread from barley or something like that. So people have been trying to get drunk since basically they found bread or anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've definitely heard, that like every society has found a way to like become intoxicated like through all throughout history.
Isn't that weird? I mean, I was noticing, so my kids love to spin until they feel dizzy, and I'm like, they're like altering their state. Should I be worried? Should I not let them spin? You know what I mean? And yesterday, my son, because I am trying to eat healthy, but I did have a, oh God, what is it? The beer, the wheat beer, and I had an orange slice in it. He goes, Mama, I want some beard. I want some beard. I'm like, oh no, that's not for you. That's for mommy. But I'll give you some orange. But anyways, yeah, that's my fun fact. Beer and alcohol. People have been trying to alter their states since
forever.
People were people.
Yeah. Well, my random fact is only helpful to a very select group of people, but it's something that I didn't know until last night, because when I was planning my journey back into Manhattan, I was going to take, there's a bus that goes from right where we were and goes down 125th Street, which I was then just going to walk home from there. I'm not giving my exact address, but like I live close enough that it was a little bit of a trek, but I could do it. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. Because I'm currently not employed,
right,
I'm also not currently buying unlimited Metro cards for the subway. Right. So every time you swipe it, you're actually deducting money. So I was like, I'm just going to take the bus into the city and I'll walk from then, because I don't want to swipe on the bus and then have to swipe again on the subway. I did not know, and was informed by my friends Elise and Colby, that if you swipe your Metro card on a bus, you can then swipe it on the subway and you won't get charged.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, you're allowed one transfer. So when I got to the subway off of the bus and I swiped it, instead of it showing my balance and how much I paid, it just said one transfer.
Oh, well, I find that very helpful. I mean, I'm not living in New York anymore, but I'm definitely planning on going back. That's great.
Yeah. So if you ever take a bus, just know you can transfer onto a train station for no extra monies. So there you go. There's my fact.
Does it work the other way?
That I do not know.
I got you.
That's a good one to check out. No. maybe I'll investigate that one.
Oh, Mike Jensen, I love you.
So there you go. So happy New Year,
yes,
Vanya.
Happy New Year, Mike. Let's hang out.
Yeah, let's hang out in 2021. That's a definite.
Yes.
That's a definite resolution that is going to come true.
Absolutely. And
that
we're going
to spend time together in 2021, and I'm very much looking forward to
it. I'm
going
to collage the shit out of that.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Yep. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We'll be back next week. art is going to be so compartmental. Wait, I'm what I'm saying is wrong. Where art is going to be so compart. Why can't I say this word?
Mentalized.
Compartmentalized. Is that the word?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I did it.